Welcome. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That was loud.
That was very loud. Holy Moses.
Still very loud.
Something is off as far as whatever's going on there. Hey, Steen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, buddy.
Yeah, it's, and I'm not getting things here, so hold on here. Program.
Yeah, something's not broadcasting there. That's not it.
That's not it.
Why are we not being, yeah.
Yeah, it's not moving very well. Well, would you like to take a step down the hallway and see if
yeah, anybody's... why don't you start things off?
I will. I'll start things off. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live, sort of, from 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports at 1700 The Champ, at Scott Brower underscore 13 and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Happy Tuesday. Part of the Tuesday show is J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting and Voice of the UNI Panthers. He will be on in this next segment. And then Scott and I have the rest of time here to go over all the different things that have happened over the past week and weekend with both of us being here and getting to do that. We are just kind of checking our stuff because we don't have we're not getting sound. If you're out there and you can hear us, we would kind of like that. There was a, let me see. Yeah. Okay. So, not sure. Anybody around?
Chad is looking into it.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Well, that's fun.
Any notification that we're actually on?
No, I just asked if anybody out there can hear us or we sound weird. Will you please tell us so we can figure that out? So, very interesting. Yeah, it just sounds weird. Oh, there's Nana. I could hear both of you.
Okay,
I
super.
Wonder if that means she can hear both of us or she could and now she can't.
Okay, we're going to go with that. Right. So, as long as we can be heard, that's what matters.
Wow, it's really, really weird. And the higher that goes, the way higher that goes.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Man, that makes you sound really deep.
Why not?
That's helping you. Man, is that helping you. Way to go, brother.
Exactly.
Okay. So, I haven't talked to you since last week.
Last week was interesting. I definitely will man, bring me down just
yep,
a, it. It's rattling through my own head, but New Orleans, first time in New Orleans. Went down there for business. Had been an expectation, if you will, on...
She can still hear us.
Oh, and Grandpa Charlie. Hello, Grandpa.
Hello, Grandpa.
Can hear us,
thank
too.
You.
So, but with that being said, jumped on a plane to go down to a buying group meeting. I stayed at the Marriott downtown. It's a little bit of a... how do I say this?
Different?
It's different. It's not the cleanest town.
No.
I will say that. But we
water can't get that off the streets every night.
No. It was so we had good meetings. Me, who has a almost a vertigo level fear of heights, they put me on the 27th floor with big glass windows, and then my meetings were on the top floor, 41st floor, three sides windows. It was a beautiful view, though. I will say that. I mean, it was.
I don't like being that high.
It was a lot of Mississippi, a lot of boats, a lot of. But we did see one of the places where they make the Mardi Gras floats and things like that. The cool. History of understanding. It's not one parade. It's 2.5 weeks worth of parade. What a crew is with a K R E W E blah blah all these different things. So the history of it was pretty darn cool. My flight back was interesting because. Let's see, I was supposed to go through Dallas-Fort Worth, been flying for a long time, never really had any major issues.
Especially not in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, yeah, now that you start digging into the history of Dallas-Fort Worth, thunderstorms go through Dallas-Fort Worth.
That's true.
So
they don't happen very often, but when they do,
get on the plane.
Eventful.
Yes, get on the plane in New Orleans, and literally we're still sitting at the gate. They had shut the door, or whatever they call it, shut and tagged the door, so we are officially in the plane. And he goes, we're going to be on a slight delay for 45 minutes until the thunderstorm stops. They shut everything down over DFW.
Wow.
So 45 minutes later, he says, yeah, it's going to be another at least 45 minutes for the next update. So, you know, hour and a half into sitting on the plane. Luckily, I have a phone full of Marvel movies that I was watching. So with that being that it's all said and done, 3.5 hours later, they had finally opened things back up at DFW that they were like, you need to go and go now. Because they opened the door back up. You go get something to eat. You could go get a drink. You could do what you wanted to do. But if they said go, go now, to hear the pilot go, I love you, but I'm leaving you. So got us to Dallas-Fort Worth. Obviously, the Des Moines flight was completely gone. Ended up finding a hotel room about 1:30 in the morning. Found a new flight the next day on the phone, or on a chat site with American by 7, and was back out of there by 1 and home and tired. And my lovely wife, I've been wearing the same clothes for 2 days. She said, honey, do you want to go home and take a shower and freshen up? I said, no, get me to Francie's right now.
Right.
I need a detuner.
They can put up with me and how I am.
There you go.
I forgot to, because of a little, not that it's technical difficulty, because everybody's saying we sound good. I didn't mention, so Northwest Bank and Heritage Building Maintenance.
Well, whatever you did, the needles are starting to do what
they're starting to move again.
Okay.
Broadlands Medical Center and Woodman Controls are very nice sponsors of our show, and we appreciate them.
Good friends.
Very much. Okay, so I haven't got to talk to you about the two football games, the Iowa State-Oklahoma State game and the Iowa-Penn State game. Which one do you want to delve first?
Sorry, I just had, actually for the first time, my BeReals app popped up where I got to do a picture of me and you on my BeReals. You want to talk about the Iowa State game or the Penn State game?
Yep, I'm letting you choose first.
Well, let's dive into this Iowa-Penn State game.
Okay.
Here's my two cents on this. Okay. Penn State, very good.
Very good.
Very good team. The chinks in the black and gold armor were exposed.
Yes.
We were missing two key running backs.
Yes.
Okay.
And a tight end.
And a tight end, yes.
And it doesn't look like you're going to – well, the tight end's definitely out for the year, but
right.
It doesn't look like you're getting the two running backs back this weekend
But I am not jumping on the grenade this way, nor am I jumping off the cliff that way with
all
this.
Right.
Okay?
And you can't because of who you have left to play. But there's always a but.
But yes, you look at the schedule. You've got people on picking sides of the fence right now of, I told you it's Brian, I told you it's Brian. And then you get people to go, I'm sorry, he works for Kirk. You know, it's the offensive line. It's the same strength coach that does the defensive line and the offensive line, correct?
I think so.
I mean, it's all these different, you can make a big pile of blame on this one. There needs to be, I think, change, and I think change is coming. I don't think it's going to happen this year because they're still – do I think that they are very, very good chance of being an 8-win team? Yeah.
Yes.
Do I think there's a C-plus to B-minus chance that they're a 9-win team? Yeah. Is there an absolute outside chance that this could still be a 10-win team? Yeah, there could be.
And there's a C-plus that it could be a 6-win team.
Right.
And have teams just know what they can do against them
right.
And know what they have to do to stop them.
I just think –
but I don't think that's
– no. I think this is a minimum. They're going to be an 8-win team. They're going to get a decent bowl. They odds are going to make it to the Big Ten championship again, and it's going to be what we just saw last weekend.
Yeah. They have one team they have to beat. They have to beat Wisconsin.
Right.
That's the game. And I am with you. I'm tired of and before this game ever happened, the last time you and I talked, I said, Beth Getz is doing such a good job. Get rid of the number thing.
Right.
Just just say, you know what, that was the previous, previous leadership. I'm not into that. I want this team to succeed. I don't want them to even think about this. Just go out and win football games.
Because the 25 win average, 25 point total, which is hovering over Brian and the program, has made Iowa, not just Iowa Hawkeyes, but Iowa as a, because we've had so many things, the mud thrown at us from the wagering that was that was targeted on Iowa, the state of Iowa athletics. Yeah. Now you've got the national sports talking about the, I've heard it as the 24/7, the 325 rule, the 25 point average with the game. I mean, you've got deep fake AI stuff going where it's, can you get off your stepladder and get your head out of my blank? You know, it's all these different things. It shouldn't be something we talk about.
No.
But where you and I are sitting, it's
absolutely
we talk about it every day, because obviously there is a problem. I mean, it's you can be an 8-9 win with the, I mean, okay, let's look at a different schedule next year. Let's look at a schedule that isn't one of the easiest in FBS football.
Right. And look at a situation where, this is where it changes, right? And this isn't for all fans, because it would be the same at Iowa State. It isn't all fans, but you have a select group of fans in each of our Ames in Iowa City,
right,
who control more than just having an opinion. They control their wallets.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Very impressive wallets.
Yes.
That are wallets that can rudder decision and buildings and
right.
and that, money to the NIL.
That's the people that coaches love to say not worried about. And they're probably not. They're worried about their team. And I like that. I dig that. I'm okay with that. The athletic director and the president of the university worry about money.
I have to.
And you have to do that. And so asking him today, Kurt, what's your take on wide receivers only having 14 catches? Well, I think it'd be a really good idea if our wide receiver room would get a little better. Really? That's what you're going to – so the ability to not get them the ball is the wide receiver room or the quarterback room, not play calling.
Right.
I'm like, it's okay for him to come out and bark at his offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But he may not get dinner when he comes home, but you have to do – I think that's where people are getting fed up to.
Yes.
Is, okay, if we can't come out here and ask you questions about Brian and have you answer them, we're going to start asking them to you.
Right.
What are you going to do about the offense? What are you going to do about not putting your defense in all these issues? And here's the biggest one. You are known in this country, pro football, college football, high school football, one of the best, if not the best, offensive line coaches ever.
Right.
And your offensive line can't block anybody, and you're getting 2.5 yards a carry. You haven't – have you stepped in? Have you talked to him? Oh, no, our coach is really good.
Right.
Really good at what? That's the problem. Really good at – this 2.5 yards isn't against just the three good teams they've played. It's
right.
Every team they've played.
Right. And here's an outside, out of the box look. Okay, it's he was recruiting those five star, if you will, future NFL linemen, and had pretty much it was linemen is what
linemen.
It was tight end you, but it was
linemen.
We make NFL linemen in at Iowa
without five stars. Don't put the five star
right,
on there.
Exactly.
Three
exactly.
Stars make them into
right. Three stars create them into professional linemen. And this is not a good guy because of what we went through.
We miss him. University of Iowa misses.
University of Iowa line misses him. The quarterback misses him. The running backs miss him. But Coach Doyle is missed.
Yep, he is missed.
He may have not have been ethically a good guy, but obviously there is a glaring hole.
There's a weakness there now, and that's a tough thing. And so
there is a void.
Yeah. So when you look at that, and that's what I'm saying. So I said the same thing yesterday. Listen, that's a bad loss, but you're going to have a good season. But it's probably not enough. That's the problem.
Right.
You have to, you wanted to use this year kind of with a new attitude and all of this and say, we're going to be different about how we do things. Because we know now we don't have, you know, we don't get Nebraska and Minnesota and right. Illinois and all those. We have to play everybody, not right. everybody, but you're going to have to play. Well, you're going to have five tough games a year at least.
Well, and it's not necessarily just that it's Nebraska and Minnesota and blah, blah, blah. It's perfect storm right now for winning their division because Nebraska's down. Minnesota's down. Michigan State is the – I mean, any chance –
Northwestern's
down. Northwestern. I mean, but okay, Michigan State could rise again. Minnesota doesn't seem to waver too far.
No.
And
Nebraska,
I'm telling you, Matt Rhule –
Nebraska's going to come back.
Matt Rhule's not going to sit on his butt.
No.
I mean, he's going to get through – like I said, I think they can make it to a bowl this year. They got to get over some humps on some stuff.
And then
here.
Guess what else comes in? USC and its offense. UCLA right,
exactly.
and its offense. Washington and its offense. Oregon and its offense. I mean, that stuff matters. And it's not going to be the same Big Ten. You're not winning the Big Ten anymore if you can't score.
Right.
Those days are over. Right. So. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting, is coming up next. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at SteenOnSports at 1700 The Champ at HappyHour_SSN Scott Brower at _13 Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. We have Twins and Athletics tonight at 6:00. You have the first read, and then we're going to jump into our first guest.
Northwest Bank, commitment you can bank on, taking care of your personal business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, 2 in Ankeny, 1 in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for easy doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank, take advantage of applying online for various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgages. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the BizBuzz blog.
Blog.
There you go, for their business insight.
Easy
or simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open up an account with Northwest Bank. Commitment you can bank on. Member FDIC.
It is Tuesday. We're excited. J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting, the voice of the UNI Panthers. So did you take vacation in a down week? I doubt that. What was going on with JW last week during the football
bye week?
No, it was good to get a little bit of space to focus on a few other things from the director broadcast standpoint. Got some exciting stuff podcast-wise for some other fall sports coming up. I did, you know, 6 or 8 interviews or so with some other athletes from swim and dive and soccer and volleyball, and so that's going to be fun to get that out there. It was interesting. Last year, being my first year, the bye wasn't until the second week of the year, and that just meant I went on a basketball trip. So I talked to my wife, and she's like, what's a bye? I don't understand this week off that you have on a Saturday. So it was a little weird, but that was good. Saturday was definitely good. Stayed busy last week, but ready for a game week again.
Okay, so we have Youngstown State coming in, ranked 19th.
Yep, top 25, depending on the poll you look at, yep.
So how's Coach Farley, after having this bye week, what's his thought process?
I think he's confident in what they were able to put in this bye week. We talked a lot about it last week going into it. He was very, I think, fired up to just get his guys and kind of go through a camp-like week, or the closest you can once you get into the scheme of a season. And by that, I mean looking at it, tweaking things on defense, tuning up, taking what he and Coach Johnson have learned about this younger defense and what they need to do to put them in a position to succeed, and implementing that for this coming week. Offensively, getting sharper. They look real good at Idaho State. Just keep that edge, keep that sharpness. Find other ways to attack defenses. You're going to be tested against Youngstown State. They've got some big, experienced dudes up front. They're going to be able to run the football. That's what they've always wanted to do. Last year, they had an offensive player of the year type guy at the running back spot. that now they're looking to replace, but they've got three really talented backs that they go to. So I think it's the cautious optimism that comes after having a good week where you get to just hunker in with your guys last week, and then you go right back into game prep. So it's going to be a battle. Fun to finally get into these games that really, really count against your Missouri Valley Conference foes, and that's where you really will measure yourself as the season goes.
And the fact that it's at the Uni Dome Saturday afternoon should be a good one as well. It's family weekend and faculty and staff appreciation. Anything you've got extra on your plate with that type of events going on, or is it still just day for you?
No, I mean, it still goes pretty much the same type of day, but it is fun for families that come out. Coach probably did talk about that too, just like, you know, it's one of the few times that parents of, especially new students, right? Like, so if you're talking about freshmen just around campus, their parents don't get to see what it's like, right? After they dropped them off a month ago or so, or coming up on a month ago. So to get them back and kind of walk around and see what the vibe is, and for football and volleyball, football at 1 this Saturday, volleyball's at 6, one ticket from the football game gets you into volleyball. So that's fun for any families that are coming out there. You can really experience what's going on from the athletic standpoint on the other side of Hudson there as they mix that into their tour. So it should be a fun, good environment. 1 o'clock kick is a little bit different, moving that up from the normal 4 o'clock just with all the family weekend festivities, purple out. But yeah, it doesn't add too much to my plate except hopefully a lot of excitement and a little more buzz even with some new folks that might not always be around coming there to check out family weekend.
You know, not to look ahead, and we'll jump back to this game, but when you're sitting here and you're looking at the football schedule and you're like, okay, you know, this is a game. We have them at home. You know, good things can happen. You go to Indiana State. Then you turn around and you have to go to South Dakota State. That's a tough game. Then you come back home and you get North Dakota. That's a tough game. But it's also homecoming. So, I mean, this is a big four-game stretch here. And I know the answer to this, but I want the audience to kind of understand this too. Is anybody on the football team, because I don't think Coach Farley does, but does anybody on the football team coaching staff, do they have to start looking ahead to those other games?
I think from a video standpoint, you get down to the real minutiae of it, and they've got their video coordinators getting that stuff all tuned up because these weeks start to go real fast, right? Like it's already Tuesday afternoon and you feel like the bye week flew by and now you're looking at Youngstown. I know for a fact that some coaches like Jeremiah Johnson on the defensive side, Bodie Reeder on the offensive side, they don't like to look ahead too far because they're trying to keep everything straight for this week, right? There's a lot of information flying around in their head that they're keeping straight about how they have to attack Youngstown or defend Youngstown. And while they might want to feel a little better prepared a week ahead, it's just hard to put that much information into your brain, right, and hang on to that. I don't look that far forward at, you know, at teams and players and things like that, even from a broadcast standpoint. But to the original point of a big stretch, I look at these two, and yeah, Youngstown State's going to be a battle. I'm not saying you go in there and they're going to roll over. The Panthers have beaten them 10 straight times in the Dome, but 5 of the last 7 have been one possession games. So they've gotten the wins, but they've all been close and tight, and the Penguins are always a tough out. And you go to Indiana State, that honestly should be a win, even though you're on the road. That's the team that hasn't won yet on the season. These two, to set you up well for that trip to South Dakota State as fans, as broadcasters, and looking around at what the overall picture of the season is going to be, these are big games to look at as a whole and say, this is a stretch where the Panthers in these next 2 weeks certainly need to come out with some positive results if they're going to set themselves up to do what they want to do this season, compete for an MVC title, and be there at the end among the top teams.
Once again, we're talking to J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting, voice of the UNI Panthers. When we look at Youngstown State, are we more concerned when we're looking at them with the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think their strength is definitely on that offensive side and how they're going to run the football. The experience that they have up front is significant on the offensive line. I like that from a Panther standpoint. We've talked a lot about the defensive line. They have gotten better and better with each game, I think, and the experience that they have up there. So that'll be a good battle, kind of a best on best. Their offensive line trying to open up and create holes. What always scares you a little bit, scares us, about a team like that is – there are some weapons on the outside. They have an experienced quarterback who's going into his fifth fall here in at Youngstown in the system. He doesn't throw it a lot. Again, they're going to be run heavy, have been. That's what they've put on tape so far. But they have some playmakers. And the Panthers in the secondary, that's where the biggest adjustments have had to be throughout the season. Passed a really good test against Idaho State, a team that was going to throw the ball a lot 2 weeks ago. And so that gives you confidence in that. But you look at Youngstown and they're going to come into this week and say, well, what do the Panthers think we're going to do? They think we're going to run the football, so we better do something else. And so the Panthers, you know, they have to be ready for that, even though you're going to have to stop the run to have success in this game. There are going to be wrinkles out there on the offense, and those wrinkles are probably going to come in the form of the pass game, because as Coach Farley would say, that's where they've been victimized. That's where they haven't been as good, and that's where teams are going to try and take advantage of any deficiencies the Panthers have.
Women's soccer, 7-0 at home, 9-1-1 overall. Tell me about the buzz around the women's soccer team, because that sounds exciting.
Man, it is a buzz, and it is exciting. And that doesn't just go to the fact that they're getting those results. It's a brand of soccer that is more exciting than some people might realize or assume. Not your regular defensive slug it out. Last year they had a long streak of ties where they were just kind of trying to hang on to win games. This is a senior class that has put in the work, put in the time, and as Coach Erickson would say, there are goals to be had from all over the place. Panthers come in with three different players who are, you know, first or tied for second in goals scored in the entire conference with 5-6 goals, and that tells you just the depth of scoring. So it's an exciting moment in time for Panther soccer with this great start that they've gotten out to, but they're also playing exciting soccer, winning games in different ways. Go back to the non-conference. They won games from come-from-behind fashion. They've won the last two now in Valley play. Coach Erickson could get his 300th overall coaching victory on Sunday if they get a victory at home in that game. So he's kind of set the tone, but it is an experienced senior class and a class that is ready to go. The Panthers all time have only been to the championship game of the Valley Tournament once. They've never won it. And that's a huge motivating factor for this team, to be the first team to do that. And they feel like they've got the talent that can put them there and give them an opportunity. It is a grind of a conference season, but they're coming up on the halfway point already, if you can believe that. But they've had great results so far, and it's been very, very exciting. And they're a great team to root for. I can tell you that, and you'll hear some of that in those podcasts I was mentioning. Just the athletes that we have in that program, they're fantastic to talk to. They're doing fantastic things outside the classroom. If you indulge me 1 minute on a story on that, Ashley Harrington, who's a senior midfielder, she did not play, as most of them did in the summer, on a club team or anywhere else, because she was doing medical engineering research down at LSU, and they were looking for a better way to immobilize people's heads while they gave them cancer treatment. And not only did she help with that, she designed a type of halo for the head that she 3D printed it, and they are now using it in trial form to figure out and see just how well it works. These are the type of athletes that are also going out there and scoring goals and playing, but that's the type of people that we get to root for when you look at these other programs. So it's just a fun group right now to see the success that they're having, and hopefully that just continues.
Well, that's impressive.
Wow, that's a story right there.
Both of us just looked at each other and went, okay, what did you do over the summer? Exactly. I didn't do that.
I carried a watermelon. But
that is exciting. We are getting close, and I can't remember if they can start practice yet, but the first days of practice has to be getting close. Men's and women's basketball and wrestling, it's a big part of the UNI Panther sports scene. How's things looking that way?
I'm not sure on the wrestling schedule for practice. They've got to be getting close, you're right. I know basketball, both men's and women's, both started yesterday. We had our big event, our kickoff event, Main Street Madness for basketball last week. A lot of buzz and excitement around that, and it was funny to hear from both coaches because they both spoke. And just their excitement. And I know that they're both great coaches, Tanya Warren and Coach Jake, but, you know, they're not always the loudest cheerleaders out in those instances just for their team, because that's not always their demeanor. But man alive, you can tell how fired up both of those coaches are for the teams that they have this year, just in the way they're talking about them. So I think we've got a lot in store, whether it's the non-conference, of course, which is a focus for the women's team, and having Iowa come here and play. But they've got goals beyond that, right? And once you get into Valley play, that's where you really make your hay when it comes to either one of these teams. Panther men get to go down to the Bahamas and play in the Battle for Atlantis. So some big, awesome opportunities on a big-time stage in the non-conference for both of those teams. But both, you know, are going to be picked highly when the polls come out. They're going to be picked highly to finish high in the Valley. And I think that sets up for a really good winter. We should have some finalized schedules here for both of them coming out. The conference schedule for the men did come out already. Women's should be out soon. So hopefully a lot of people will make their plans to spend some winter nights with us in the McLeod Center and keep an ear on what both those teams are doing as well.
It's such a good time up there as well. Okay, so Youngstown State, that game is a noon pregame, and then I'm assuming a 1 o'clock kick. For all of our listeners on this station that are going to listen to that game, key players of the game, who are we looking at?
Well, I think you got to look at it on the defensive side. I think for the Panthers, one of the guys that you really want to look at, one in the secondary, is Dalshon Staley. He's the younger guy in his second season, and he's definitely going to have an impact on what any team is going to do throwing the football. And I think he picked up an interception in the last home game against Weber State. He's got to be strong and help lead that unit in the back end. And then up front on that defensive side at the linebacking spot, Josiah Galvin. He's a kid out of West Liberty, Iowa, redshirt freshman, and he has been the leading or second tackler in all three games so far. He just flies around the field, and as that defensive line is soaking guys up front, he's the linebacker that gets to flash in there and make plays. So look at both those guys on the defensive side, because honestly, there's so many names on the offensive side. I think the offense will be able to go out there and make plays, but the key for really the rest of the season for me, certainly in the short term in this stretch, how fast can this defense become a dominant defense? I think there are guys to do it. I just named two of them right there that could potentially be some of the best defensive players in this conference. And now just as a team and as a unit, how quickly can they get to that level and start shutting people down? Because that's going to be the key to taking a good season and taking it up a level to a real special season.
We have about a minute left, and one of the things I've had a couple of people ask me this is just they want to know what how the relationship is between you and Coach Farley, because when they listen to you, it seems like you guys are you really understand each other and get along well. You got about 30 seconds. Tell us what you think that relationship's like.
Well, I think it's great from my end, and I think a lot of that credit goes to Coach Farley taking me in as the new guy, right? Like, yeah, you never know. Anytime you start working with any sort of new coworker, and that's kind of what it's like. We work together to meet the same end, but I think that is the biggest thing. We're pulling in the same direction, and that's the direction that he's been pulling in for now almost all of his life, as it seems, right? And that is for the good of Panther football, and that's what I'm all about, too. I'm trying to put this team and this program in the right light, and tell the great stories that are around this team, and he appreciates that, and he helps do that in some great ways. And so I think that makes for a good relationship, because we're all about Panther football and making sure that it can be presented in the best way and get the most people talking about it and having fun around a great program.
Well, I know that Scott and I both agree, and it's just a ton of fun to get to talk to you, and good luck this weekend.
Absolute pleasure.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Yep,
thanks,
bye-bye. Bud. JW.
Oh yeah,
it's nice to have that kind of enthusiasm all the time, isn't it? Man, you get old,
yep,
and stuff just doesn't work that way.
Fun
sometimes
to hear a personality pop in a voice.
Boom,
good stuff.
That is good stuff. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Looking for
what
something?
What you looking for?
I'm looking for my for my sheets.
I don't have your sheets.
I know. I don't know what I did with my sheets.
What are you looking for? Woodman Control?
Yeah.
Well, I can give you Woodman Control.
Thank you. Welcome back in, everybody. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at HappyHour_SS, at 1700 The Champ, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Minnesota Twins and the Oakland Athletics today and tomorrow. Both of those game times are at 6, pregame anyway. Thursday, you're going to get Lions and Packers. What a game that's going to be. That's a 6:30 pregame. And then on Friday, we have Twins and Rockies. Saturday is UNI, Youngstown State. We just got done talking to J.W. Cox, Director of Broadcasting and voice of the UNI Panthers. That's Saturday, 12 o'clock pregame. And then this weekend, Commanders, Eagles, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets, Seahawks, Giants. And it is Ryder Cup week. Love Ryder Cup. We're going to get updates.
Yeah, it starts at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Updates will air at the 55 breaks when available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. You'll get updates. So they'll be giving you updates that are, because it is. It's we're playing in, they're across the pond.
Yes, they are.
So, this segment is going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company. Provide design, engineer, install, program, and service HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera control. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. They're located in Ankeny, Iowa. Go to woodmancontrols.com and find out more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing, easy for me to say, company, Woodman Controls. I want to thank JW for coming in. That's, you know, it's not easy to have that excitement all the time. And I've never spoke to him and not have just that you and I,
And he's
love
and,
it.
And it's the epitome of having his thumb on the heartbeat. He knows as soon as, you know, we don't telegraph to him that I'm going to ask a question about soccer. He knows it's going to be a little bit about football, hopefully a little bit about Coach Jake. But, I mean, the stuff that we throw at him, you know that he lives this.
Oh, yeah. And we said that up front, that we will ask questions differently than some people
right.
do.
I forgot to ask about the Pink Cheetahs, his daughter's team.
So. Yes. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Iowa. Listen, if 3 games from now we're still talking about how their offensive line isn't playing well and they're not scoring points and they're not getting yards and it's starting to affect the defense, you know, then we have something to talk about. I agree with you that I think that they get better because the teams they're playing are not at the same level as the ones they've been playing. And it's one loss. It just didn't look good. Now,
right. Here's it was glaring. It was glaring. It was quick for people to
That's what we're talking about. You
that
know?
Zero. That zero towards his, because he was at 28.33 on his points. He was above his total. That zero really hurts totals.
Yeah, more turnovers than points. That's right. Never good.
Right.
On a really bad day, that's not good. Okay, and I am a Cade McNamara fan, and I thought Cade McNamara did a great job today. Stepping up to the podium and saying we're going to be fine, blah blah blah. Kept going, he went down the line, and then he did something. You know, he's like, this offense is going to get better, all of this is going to get better. And then they said, then they asked it. They're in an interview,
right? I was going to say, did you hear the same interview?
I did.
I heard.
So I know at the start of the interview, he did a great job.
Yes,
and then he did the one thing that you can't do. They asked him a question that he knew the answer to just be, you know, that's not up to me. That's, you know. But
the dirty finger of blame came out.
What do you think about them only having 14 catches on the year? Well, duh, I'm just the quarterback.
Right.
I don't design the play.
I just do what they tell me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's you.
Don't do that.
Somebody had to get to him and go, buddy, you were doing great, and he's done great at this. It's not easy, I guarantee you.
Well, that comment worked well for Justin Fields.
Yeah, it worked awesome for him.
Yeah, there you go.
It was just like you. That's what you say. You know what? We are working, and we're a work in progress. And I think you're going to see over the next 4 weeks that things are going to get less complicated because the schemes that we're seeing are going to be less complicated. And walked off that podium, and right. People going, that's my quarterback. But man, he did that one thing you can't do, because now they're gonna want you there every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did good things, they're gonna see if they can get you to slip up again. And
that's exactly right. Yes. It's like, oh, we know how to trip him up, and we can get a better soundbite. So okay, let's do this here. Let's walk through this: Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, Nebraska.
Yep. And
so, first question.
Majority of those at home.
First question I have for you, Steen, is does any of those pop out as a possible, oh my gosh, the Hawkeyes can't score against any one of those teams?
Wisconsin.
That could be a possible goose egg one.
And I don't know if it's a goose egg one, but they're going to have to score to beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, they are.
That would be the only game. I think they're going to lose two. I just don't know which two they're going to lose. I mean, and I think that's the best case, and everything works out.
Right, I agree.
I guess the best case is they lose this Penn State game, and then you have to play, you know, you have to play one of those three. You either have to play Penn State again, you're going to have to play Michigan, or you're going to have to play Ohio State. And Ohio State, you know, Ryan Day, they nobody loves them, and they don't ever get, you know, all everybody is picking on. I mean, he's picking on Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
That guy's a ding-dong. I mean, Cade,
let's just pick on Lee Corso.
Yeah. Which they did, too. Cade McNamara, as soon as I saw Ryan Day's interview and after the game, I forgave you for anything that you said because that man knows better. And to say, it's always been Ohio against the world. No, it hasn't. You have one of the nicest facilities, the best record in all these things. You need to shut up.
Right.
Wow. But, yes, I agree that Wisconsin's the toughest game. Is that home or away? I can't remember.
That is at Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a tough game. Even if we were rolling, that's a tough game because it's a rivalry game and it's there. And not that they beat up on Wisconsin last year, but they beat them pretty good last year.
Well, currently, you know who has the best record out of any of the teams that they're going up against?
Rutgers.
Right.
Yeah.
Rutgers 3-1.
And see, that's the crazy thing, that when these teams, when they're looking at Iowa, last year when you looked at Iowa, you knew if you didn't have an offense that you were in trouble because that defense was unbelievable. Couple of injuries, couple of look-sees, maybe not the same, lost some people.
Right.
It's not the same, but their thinking is, okay, I just need to score twice. And I have a chance to win because I don't know if they can score twice on us. And for a FBS school in the Big Ten, that's a horrible thing to have people thinking about you. Not that it's true. I don't know if it's true. It looks pretty darn true. I mean, they haven't. It's not like they've been a plethora of.
Right.
I mean, the Iowa State game, the offense scored once, and they kicked a field goal, and the defense scored once. So, I don't know.
I mean, you watched the Penn State game.
Yeah.
Were they out schemed? Were they off athletic?
They were manhandled and not even close athletic.
Because it was experience over youth?
I don't think so, because Iowa's is not youthful.
Okay. Well, I was trying to.
No, I don't think there's
trying to get an angle of, oh, okay, yes, this happened because of A, B, and C. We can fix that and be better.
And here's the thing: if you lose that game, 31-17, and it was that way, it was the fact that it was 31-0, and you had 68
100% ineffective. Yes.
Yeah, at no point in time, more fumbles than scores. More. Right. I mean, just more errors than scores.
There's already a T-shirt that says what. Punt, fumble, punt, 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 fumble, punt. I think it was actually more fumbles or punts than that. But anyway, but people love to see an opening and let's pile on.
And that's what's going to happen when they play every one of these teams. They're going to line up 8 people in the box and they're not going to let you run and they're going to try to sack the quarterback. I mean, that's what they're going to do. And you have
You said that early on. Cade McNamara is going to be good, but he can be rattled.
He can be rattled and he's not healthy.
Right. Exactly.
I still don't think he's healthy.
No. And I don't think getting slammed down quite a few times last weekend helped either.
I mean, and that is one of my biggest things I got 30 seconds. I just wanted to say that last night when they put Joe Burrow on the field, And it was before Joe Burrow said anything. And I'm like, at worst case scenario, you go 0-3 and in a division that's not great because, seriously, the Baltimore Ravens now have a new starting offense and defense, except for a couple of guys. There's 20 people that are injured. Can't even get into that. And I'm thinking, okay.
For those who can't see his mannerisms, he just hung his head when he said that.
And it's 0-3. What happens if they lose that game last night with him playing and he got hurt again?
Right.
It was such a big gamble that I just didn't like it, but it worked.
Well, there's some weird stuff going on in the NFL last week, and I guess we'll talk about that sometime soon.
We'll talk about that next. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Second hour of this Tuesday already. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're bringing you your sports your way every day right here on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You don't have that memorized?
Don't have that one memorized. You took my sheet.
You can check us out on Twitter at SteenOnSports, at ScottBrower_13, at 1700TheChamp, and at HappyHour_SS. Facebook at 1700TheChamp, and the website 1700TheChamp.com. Twins Athletics, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 o'clock pregames, both those days. Lions and Packers on Thursday night. And you have first read. Third read.
Third read. I'll wave at you from the Twins game tomorrow. So
yes.
It's going to be a beautiful night, it looks like, up there.
That'll be fun.
Will be. Heritage Building Maintenance provides peace of mind in protecting the future of your buildings and its occupants. Heritage Building Maintenance, as certified partners in science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in their science-proven program can be rest assured that they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their built environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about the Heritage Building Maintenance and the science-proven microbial control program, feel free to reach out to one of the dedicated team members through their website at heritagebldg.com or call 515-868-0842 today. Heritage Building Maintenance.
We talked a little bit about some of the coaches not being happy. Ryan Day kind of taking on Lou Holtz. I mean, Lou Holtz is an icon who coached at Notre Dame. He's going to say that he wants Notre Dame to beat Ohio State. Ryan Day getting angry about people. I mean,
right.
Ryan, we nobody likes Ohio State except for people in Ohio. Come on. I have.
Did he go down the
I
hole?
Have family there.
No one expected us. No one respected us.
Yeah, I mean, it's us against the world.
All right, slow down there, jabroni.
Okay, and then you get to Oregon's coach, you know, saying, you know, I did Lee Corso. Why is he still even on TV? They talk on their TV shows to get people excited about games.
Right.
Give it up. Stop watching.
Right.
I have no idea why they do that. And I understand all the Deion stuff, and I understand the Colorado kids, and I get all of that. And maybe as an opposing coach, you don't like that stuff. What you can't do, you can't think in your mind that you can compete with Deion and getting publicity and getting people to back
exactly.
him. It's impossible because he's too good at it.
Well, and here's the best part of Deion that, you know, like I said, I mean, they were out talented. They were with everything that has happened. He created a new team within a year.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to have a rough weekend this weekend too.
Oh God. Yes.
Okay. But he's got three wins. The over-under total of win total was 2.5. He's already ahead of the game for
got
what
that.
He had for
probably already made $10 million on that.
He has. He got his you-know-what handed to him. He walked into the conference after the game and said, hey, guess what? We got outplayed, out-coached. We got our blanks handed to us. Let's move on.
Yep. Not very many coaches come out and say
that.
And that's what his locker room is expecting him to say, and that's what he's going to walk into his locker room and say. And for Dan Lanning, who is a good coach, and I like what he's doing. I think he did a good job. You can't be complaining about someone getting clicks and you want wins and then bring in video people and film all this stuff so you can get clicks.
Right, exactly.
You what's going to happen, and it's not when and I think when you and I first talked about it, I'm like, I do know how good a coach he is because he's won and when he's done stuff with his kids and all that stuff, and he loves it. He loves coaching. He doesn't have to coach. He doesn't need money.
No. But
he's
a salesman.
Yeah. He's an,
whatever he wants to bring to the table, he yep. is going to, he's a living room guy. He's a locker room guy. I'm going to tell you my opinion and you're going to come to my side, and it works.
Mm-hmm. And this is something he did. Five more things that he just put patents on. Ain't nobody care. F around and find out. We keep receipts, pit bull and pumps, and working or thinking. And he just keeps.
Wait, he trademarked those?
Yep. And then that's what he does. See, we could trademark all kinds of things, but we're not Deion Sanders, so I don't know if we can.
Okay.
But I thought that was really good. That so my thought process was and so
how about we can trademark the check is in the mail.
Yes.
How about that one? Want to do that one? Okay.
Yeah, we've done that. We live that.
Wow.
My thing with Dan Lanning too, that his first one didn't go well. You know, him saying all that stuff and it wasn't right and showboating. So then they had video before the game. They went out and videoed and they saw Colorado players barking at his players and doing all that. And he goes, "See, I told you this isn't a good guy." And these people are like, he has his team fired up. They're in Oregon playing. They know they're going to get their butts handed to them, and they're trying to get themselves pumped up. Their best player can't play because he has a lacerated kidney.
Right.
And you're you're. So I guess I'm not here to promote Deion. He definitely does not need Steen's help in doing any of that. I need his help, but he does not need mine. What I want to say is to Ryan Day and to Dan Lanning, you guys have good football programs, proven football programs. They're special programs. Shut up. He's at Colorado. Colorado hasn't been relevant at anything for years. The last time was, and somebody died there and people got fired. So, yes.
Right. But we understand what this is. Deion is trying, he is the master of hype and trying to create something so everybody wants to be behind the push to make Colorado a powerhouse, quote unquote. They're not going to be forever, but I mean, it's going to spike out now. He's going to do his deal or whatever. But if you get on top of the hill and you wear a flashy outfit and point your fingers and use a microphone, everybody's going to look back up and they're going to yell back at you. Yeah. So it is what it is. I mean, they're trying to rehype back to the level of what he's doing. But you can't master the master.
You can't.
You know?
And his thing is what these social media and ESPN and Fox, what they're looking for is clicks and likes. And Dan Lanning and Ryan Day aren't getting any clicks or likes. Deion is. And he is Colorado, who, if Deion's not there, is an offer for the year. Because they had nothing coming back and they had no, I mean, they didn't have anything. They are the most watched, double the amount of viewers than any other team in college football.
Right.
It's crazy what he's, and that's for all the people that says, well, he's going to go somewhere else. He's going to go to the pros. We already, both you and I agree that his stuff doesn't work at the pros. It doesn't work. Now, if he wants to own a team, yes. But being a coach, no way in Hector. Those guys are going to look at him going, who are you?
Right.
But it'd be fun to watch because who he was.
This massive fantasy is that he is going to be embraced by Jerry Jones and then he's going to coach. After he takes Colorado to greatness, then he's going to take on his next challenge, and that's bringing the Cowboys back to their next level.
And I will tell you right now that if he's going back to an NFL team, he's going to the Falcons where he was allowed to have fun.
Right.
And it's a fun.
No, I agree with you.
No, I agree with you. But what these other coaches are going to have to do, they're going to have to realize that, and especially those two, Dan Lanning and Ryan Day. So when you get done with the year and you bring in your new recruiting class, Deion's going to sit back and go, okay, that kid's not going to play because here comes, okay, I want you, and you.
Right.
And when you get ready to leave and you're coming to Colorado, tell your coaches it was me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yes, I wish I had that kind of power, and I do not.
He is doing his deal. We're talking about him. That's what it does. Talks, clicks, likes, and all that good stuff.
You got the next one. What do you got?
Well,
because I got a special one for you coming up.
All right. Well, obviously, I don't know if we want to. What do we got for time? If we go down this path here.
We got plenty. We got 9 minutes.
The Notre Dame game.
Yes.
Were you surprised with the ending, or are you like, oh, too much time, this is going to, oh, darn it. Or did you think, holy buckets, they got this?
All I wanted was my allotted people on the field. How about we play with a full team when we're on a goal line stand? Where's coaching there? I think that he's going to be a great football coach. He fits the Notre Dame way. The thing that he hasn't done that a Matt Campbell's done or somebody. What did Matt Campbell do? Okay, I got to have somebody that I can trust that's been here. He can help me. John Heacock.
Right.
He's going to guide my defense. He's going to be my mentor. He knows what he's doing. it seems like that grouping at Notre Dame doesn't have a guy that's taking care of the, how do they always say it, dotting, crossing the T and dotting the
I's, yes.
And somebody's missing. I think something was amiss with Iowa State on some of the, you know, just some of the minutia that they were doing. The good football teams have somebody that has that guy that's like, whoa, call timeout, call timeout. We don't.
Right.
Who were the people up? Where were the defensive assistant coaches that are up in the box?
Right.
And they can't count? I'm like, guys, come on. This is a big, that was a huge, Notre Dame wins that game. For Charlie Strong, that's a huge, huge, huge win. That sets that program. I might have just got his name wrong. I'm going to stop here just for a second. So, no, I couldn't believe it, Scott. I thought Ohio State was going to win. I thought they were going to drive down. I thought they were going to win. I just didn't think they would win that way.
Right. Well, I just said number 6, Ohio State, number 9, Notre Dame.
Marcus Freeman, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize, Marcus.
But
Coach Freeman.
To watch football, to be Saturday, to be watching football, to have some games where it was eyes not blinking with mouth open going, what am I watching here? To games like that going, good Lord, this is good football.
It was good football, and there was a lot of good football. I was excited. And
were you surprised that Arizona State gave USC actually that much of a game?
No, because I don't know how good, I really truthfully don't know how good USC is. You know what they have? They have the best quarterback in the land.
Right.
And if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and you look at the Miami Dolphins, when you have the best quarterback, you're going to win football games. And that's what he's
going
to do.
When you have the best healthy quarterback, you're going to win games.
That's okay. I was being nice.
Number 3, Texas. They put 38. Over 6 on Baylor. Is Texas back?
I think they're back, but once again, when they get in a tight game, are they going to play like they did against Alabama, or are they going to play like they have in the past? That's the scary part about Texas. I thought Florida State with a huge win over Clemson at Clemson. That's 2 losses at home for Dabo Sweeney. And Here's my thought process. Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin, Jimbo Fisher, Ryan Day, all these guys. You are all going to have to change everything you do, because there's no way that you can keep sticking all these kids, all these 4 and 5 star kids on your roster, and just promising them that all you have to do is give us a chance. You'll be here for 2 years. You'll be on TV more than everybody, and we'll get you in the pros. Because now everybody's on TV, except for the Pac-12, who this weekend have 6 games, and 4 of them are on the Pac-12 network that nobody in the country gets. And you wonder why you don't have a conference anymore.
Exactly.
I just don't know. They're not going to have all that talent, and then it comes down to coaching. I've never known how good a coach Dabo Sweeney is. He's just had a lot of great talent.
Oh, yeah.
And plays in the ACC where you don't have tough games.
Right.
That changes now, right? Because they keep bringing different people in, and you bring Notre Dame in and you do that. The same thing's happening to Ohio State and Michigan and Iowa. Now you don't have that, where you don't have to play everybody, and you're bringing in more teams. And for the other squads, like the Big 12 with Iowa State, with all those teams, you have to find a way to stick out. And you have to, the way you stick out nowadays to get these kids is stuff that people want to see. And as much as I love defense and I want to have a defense to win, if you can't score, like Iowa State couldn't score more than 10 points. If you can't score, people aren't going to come to your program. If you don't have the kind of intellectual mind on offensive intellectual mind, which I'm not sure that Coach Shieldhouse does not have, but the head coach has to trust you in having that, because the play calling at home this past weekend, if they would have done that on the road in Ohio, they would have won that game by 20 points, but they didn't do it against a far weaker team. But I think they finally just said, okay, if we don't do this now, we can't ever do it. So, okay, I'm buying in. And let's hope that he stays bought in, because that's what you need.
Well, but I also don't think, I mean, it's we just can't, okay, flick the switch and then we're going to let, quote unquote, let Brock eat.
You know, no.
But I mean, it's you, the fact that there was no running game.
Right.
That's something's got to change.
And now there was. And the biggest part of that running game against Oklahoma State, a couple of Rocco Breck 5-yard gains.
Right.
Because he went, oof, I got to go.
Okay, before we get, because you mentioned Michigan, the two games that really kind of, I'm not saying, but I was intrigued when I saw the scores. Yep. Number one, Georgia against UAB.
Yes.
49-21. Obviously, they won, but was that, I mean, they allowed 21 points.
I know.
Number one did. Was that, you know, we're not going to show anything. We're not going to overwork it. We're going to roll through this game the way we can. Or is that a,
I think it's complacency.
Right.
Because they haven't been tested for a while now. Really tested.
Right.
And that is, you know, it's one of those things that you go, okay.
But that was a one and two.
At Georgia.
Yeah.
And it's still, and you go, okay, it was a 28-point game, but I'm thinking that's a 63-0
game. That should have been
And Michigan Rutgers, I think that shows that Rutgers is a different team. And if I'm the Iowa Hawkeyes, I watch that game film, and I go,
Michigan. Yeah, you're talking, because that was
31-7.
Now, man, where to me, that should have been a 52-7 or 31-0.
Exactly.
You know,
one of those just, two. And what you look at is, okay, Michigan compared to Iowa offensively, that's what Iowa wants to be. They just aren't that.
Right.
And can they score with Rutgers?
I will tell you this.
Is going to score.
Rutgers-Michigan game, Rutgers' only score was in the first quarter. So adjustments were made.
Right. But that Michigan offense is really, really good.
Right.
It's not the same when they play.
Exactly. It was intriguing to see those scores.
I think it was too. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 to Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Welcome back in. God, day's flying.
Holy buckets. It is.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 1700 to Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13. And at happyhour_SS, Minnesota Twins baseball next 2 days, 6 o'clock. They're playing the Athletics. Need to keep winning. I don't think they can maneuver anywhere, but I'd rather go with a nice win streak going into the playoffs. And you have to beat the Athletics Thursday night. You're going to get the Lions and the Packers. Boy, that is NFL football right there. If it's not the Bears and the Packers, the Lions and the Packers have been here forever, as always. Speaking of forever, we are forever grateful for Broadlawns Medical Center.
Yes, we are.
Being a part of our program. It's been fun being able to talk about all the things that they've done, all the things they're getting ready to do, and then hearing future things, and you're going, okay, this is an interesting group. A lot of people working hard to market and manage, and the new clinic, the getting ready to have a memory wing Alzheimer's patients.
It's what have we talked about? I mean, it's Boulder, Better, Brighter is their tagline.
Yep.
And for them to change and knowingly tell us this, for them to change that when people hear Broadlawns, they are changing the persona of what people thought it was.
It wasn't. It's not the county. It's still the county hospital, but it's not the county hospital. But it's.
I mean, good heavens, go to the Drake Clinic.
Yeah. Oh, it's.
I mean, it is.
It's incredible.
It is. Yeah.
And
it's top tier.
And I understand when you're building buildings and building clinics,
you have to have sides and a top.
Yeah. But it is very tall, but not with the second floor. But the tallness of it and what they did with that space.
Yes.
It's when you walk in, you go,
right.
And you don't usually do that when you're walking in to find out something that you don't want to find out.
No, it's.
And so I love that part of it. And all the things they do and all the things they are involved with. I mean, I get social media hits from the Sun all the time. Hey, look where I'm at today. Hey, look where I'm at today.
No, they have definitely shifted. I'm not saying turn the vehicle in a different direction, but they have definitely shifted gears. It's fun to have them associated and be friends of the show.
This is coming from my son too. So last Friday, he was at Terrace with three of the, a couple of gal doctors and another gal from the office were a team at their golf outing. And we had just been there the week before.
Let me guess, he shot better than when he shot with us, right?
Well, yes, he did. Jeez. And we shot really well that day.
Yeah, not enough to win. But
not
yeah.
enough to win, but it was still fun. So you have that. So I have to talk to you about something because I'm buying in. And that's probably horrible for you.
Don't
now
you?
That I'm
don't you? You give me that. I will throw that in the waste right now. You don't say a word about anything in South Beach.
Okay, here's the funny thing. As of right now, the Miami Dolphins have the favorite for MVP, the favorite for Coach of the Year, the favorite for Offensive Player of the Year. And here's the part that I even love. I love Mike McDaniels.
Mm-hmm. McDaniel.
When we started talking about him, and I'm like, man, I just love the dude. And we talk about him listening to rap music and doing all that. And he looks like he's about 18. And here's a really funny thing. There's a picture on social media today when he was an assistant coach at the Denver Broncos. And he seriously looks like he's 16.
He was the ball boy.
Ball boy. Was that what he was doing there?
He was
the ball boy, but he was a coach there.
He was an assistant coach, worked his up. He grew up in he was a Denver dude.
And the last two coaching cycles for them didn't even get an interview.
Nope. They didn't even want to talk to him.
So the scuttlebutt was over this weekend, man, you don't see a lot of NFL teams run the score up. Who was he mad at? And everybody's going, I don't think he was mad at anybody. I think he just wanted to let these people. Then you hear that, as somebody in the stat room goes, hey, they didn't give him an interview. The Denver Broncos have never given him an interview, and he was a part of their program.
Right.
I don't think that's him. I just think that he went, oh, hey, I got this play I want to run today.
Okay, I'll look at this two ways. He could have gotten the all-time highest at 73. It was 72 back in 66 or whatever. Yep. I think it was the Reds.
Sat on the ball.
Anyway, he took a knee when they could have had a little chip shot to make it 73. So he was classy enough not to do that.
I agree.
But it was kind of like, I can do this, I can pick you up, and I can do it again.
Right.
But he didn't.
But he didn't do it.
The thing was, four rushing touchdowns, four passing touchdowns. No, it was five, wasn't it? Remember, because they took out, when they took out Tua, and he was my fantasy quarterback, I'm like, no. But anyway.
He had a good enough day.
With everything that went on, they ran it well. Obviously, I picked him up. He probably will not have another weekend like
Mozart.
He did. Mozart, Hill. I mean, everything that they were doing, it looked really, really good, right?
And here, hold on.
Yeah.
Waddle did not play.
Right.
I mean, that's the second.
So,
he's a top 10 wide receiver
To look at the game, you can say or ask yourself, when did they give up?
Broncos.
Right.
Early.
Probably but early. Then again, at the end, when it looked like they were going to get big leagued on points, there was a flurry, and then it was, I'm going to throw it over here. Psh, ego. Yeah.
Russell Wilson's not cooking.
No.
And I don't think Sean Payton wants anything to do with him as a quarterback.
No. He's got three more years. It was a $350 million deal or whatever for Russell Wilson. Exactly.
Walton money.
I know, write the check.
Just write the check and get rid of him. Somebody will take him. The New York Jets would take him right now. Talk about that's the scariest thing.
They signed
the Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian. They signed him to the practice squad.
Yeah.
I love Carson Wentz reached out to him.
Yeah. And they're like, no, thank you.
It's like, oh, that's adorable.
And he's really bad, but you're really bad and you're old.
Yeah.
No,
and their former quarterback that they let go that was in a quarterback battle,
Mike White,
who is on Miami, is just going, yeah, we're good.
That's right.
It's like, shut up, White.
he would help. They would have won a game already if he was quarterbacking instead of that. That was a bad pick.
Right.
It's going to go down as one of the worst picks because of some of the other people that were there. Once again, for you, that is their only thing they have to do is
stay healthy
to keep Tua healthy.
Right. Well, and I'd like to, because we're friends, you know, I love you like a brother, but, and for acknowledging all this. So if like a team that I really love on baseball is having a no hitter, would you call me and acknowledge it? Because the gods love it when you do that. So, so appreciate it.
Yes.
So let's see. Miami next week is playing Buffalo at Buffalo. And you said the only way that they would lose is if it snowed in Buffalo. So guess what's going to happen?
It's going to snow.
It's going to be September snow in Buffalo and Miami's going to lose.
Now,
I swear,
I'm telling you, they're beating you. I'm telling you, they're beating Buffalo because of their defense. Their defense, because their offense scored 70 points. No one's looking at their defense and what they did. They played a great game.
If Tua, I'm not saying a concussion, but if Tua rolls an ankle or something, I will hunt you down and flick you on the forehead. I'm just saying
Mike
that. Yeah, White. Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go. Everything's fine.
Yes.
It was definitely fun to watch.
Is Miami the best team in football?
No.
And if I say you're the best team in football, that means no matter if you're playing at home or you're playing on the road, you are the best team in football.
No.
Who's better?
I still think Kansas City is beat anybody they want when they can.
So, but you're not going to... After Philadelphia last night or San Francisco with Brock Purdy. See, that's my two thing. I'm not sure on Jalen Hurts, and I'm not sure on Brock Purdy, but I am sure about Patrick Mahomes.
I
agree with you to that point.
Okay. I'm not pushing all chips on Jalen Hurts. I like him. That's why I don't go, oh, sweet, we got this. Train's on the track in Miami. Same kind of reason you look at the 49ers.
Right.
And there's some talent. McCaffrey, oh, good heavens.
There's talent everywhere.
I mean, from defensive side of the ball, offensive side of the ball, Brock can have a bad game, and they still win the game.
Right.
And I love that they're disappointed we didn't win properly. We won, but we didn't want to win the way that we – so that, I give them that, but it's still – everything's fine. All cylinders are hitting. I'm just waiting for that one cylinder to pop. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's –
That would be cool to see the 49ers and the Dolphins in the Super Bowl.
Are you just – what are you doing? Wow.
I'm helping you out.
No.
I mean, I have a team that I can't even fill the squad because we have so many people hurt, and we still find ways to lose when we should be winning.
And my – you know what? All my chips went to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville isn't doing what I thought they'd be doing.
No, and that was embarrassing, and once again – If you listen to this show early this year, and we were talking about rookie quarterbacks, we both said Bryce Young, really, really small. C.J. Stroud played a lot of good teams and played good football.
Exactly.
He's the leading passer in the NFL.
Right.
Even though they're 1-2, he's the leading passer in the NFL. It's incredible.
I had to go back on my word. I benched Trevor Lawrence for a guy named Tua. But
yeah, which is okay.
Yeah.
No,
so which is funny because I had a trade offer for somebody. Hey, I'll give you these two guys for two, and I'm like, oh, really? Making fun of him before, now you want him? So.
Exactly.
But yeah,
no.
I've got two leagues and six games. I've won one game right now in fantasy. I'm not good. I'm not good at all.
Yeah, I'm not either. I got the one that I should have won this week. You know, when you're looking at, I've won enough, but I got boat raced by a guy. Who he was projected to have 101 points, and he had Mozart, and he had one of the wide receivers. Was it Keenan Allen or somebody? Mm-hmm. They both were over almost 50 points. I'm like, I scored 132 points, and I got crushed. That's not fun.
No, it's not. All right, let's look at this. Now that we're talking about this, we've got, like we said, Thursday night, Lions and the Packers.
Yep.
And this is at Lambeau, Detroit favored 1.5.
Yep. And
so they're pretty much throwing this as a pick'em game.
It's a pick'em. Actually, it means if Detroit's 1.5,
it means
it's 3, so it's 4.5. If you're looking, because you get 3, you should get 3 points.
You
should
get
3
from. Well, no, they're saying that it's the Lions by 2.5. Then.
Yeah. So
3.5. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But okay. With that being said, at home. Thursday night football. I think the Pack's going to do it again. I like Jordan Love.
I like
Jordan Love slash, I just went blank. Quarterback. Or, I mean, excuse me, the coach. LaFleur. Excuse me.
I do too. I
like the combination of those two.
I like
two.
LaFleur as well. One thing to maybe take a little bit of a of a step back when you look at that. They were playing the New Orleans Saints. I mean, that's a 17-0 game. A normal,
and then you lose lose your new guy. Also, you lose to a shoulder injury.
Right. And you're down 17-0, and you're playing in Green Bay. You should have lost that game. Conventional wisdom means that you lose that game, and they had a couple of mistakes. And
Thursday night at home
against Detroit.
Against Detroit,
who has way, 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 way more talent.
Okay.
Than the New Orleans Saints.
So you're saying Lions by 10?
No, but I'm saying the Lions win that game if Aaron Jones can't play. That's what makes Jordan Love really, really good, is having Aaron Jones. If he doesn't have Aaron Jones in that game, I don't know if they can stop Detroit enough. And Detroit's defense is really good, too, and they're going to harass those guys. So that's going to be – talk about – that might be our best Thursday game we've had so far.
It would be very good. I
like both teams.
I'm telling you right now – because the joy of having multiple TVs going, I will have the Broncos and Bears game on.
Oh, you have to. It's a train wreck. How can you not watch a train wreck?
Well, I want to see who wants to circle the drain more. I mean, is Justin Fields going to have flashes of something? Does Russell Wilson have anything left? I mean, is there such a disconnect and disdain between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton? Is there any chance of them salvaging anything?
No. And Russell Wilson gets worse as the game goes along. So in Russell Wilson fashion, he's great at scripted because he works it through his mind and he can see all that.
Right.
But he used to be really good about going outside the box and doing – I don't think he can do it anymore. I think he's too old, and I think he's taken too many hits, and it's not good. And the thing is who in the NFL is going to get Justin Fields and figure out how to use him? Because the Chicago Bears are a dumpster fire.
Right.
And if you and I could just go up, knock on,
right.
If you just talk to us and you have a young quarterback, here's the one thing you don't do. Don't hire a defensive coordinator as your head coach.
I made a little list of things not to do. If you'd like to read through them.
It never works. It has never worked. Please don't. And because it was one of those things, and it just drives you crazy if you're a parent of this child or something, and you've been in athletics for long enough that the person goes, well, hey, I know you're really, really good at that, but I like really doing this, so this is what we're going to do. And then when it doesn't work, you go, man, you're horrible. What are you thinking? Coach, I told you.
Exactly.
I can't do that.
You used to be really, really good. No, I'm still really, really good. It's the whole make an apple be an orange scenario. Yeah.
I'm not good at making a read if I got people in my face. But as soon as I maneuver out of the pocket, which you won't let me do, then it opens up the playing field, and then I have a better thing. I'll get better at yours.
Mike McDaniel.
Yes.
Use the utensil in the drawer for the job of the utensil. Yep. I mean, because it's not 40 yards down the field to Tyreek. It's 7 to 11 and let him go.
Let him cook. Not Russell style. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We got one segment left. We got a lot to talk about. Be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Last segment of this Tuesday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter, at @ScottBrower_13, at @HappyHour_SS, at 1700 The Champ, and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. We have Twins and Athletics on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Lions, Packers. Friday, Twins and Rockies. Saturday, UNI, Youngstown State. Sunday, Commanders, Eagles, Patriots, Cowboys, Chiefs, Jets, Seahawks, Giants. On Monday, Ryder Cup updates will air at the 55 break where available. want to thank our sponsors, Northwest Bank Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Controls, and Broad Lawns Medical Center. The reason that I loved baseball, the reason I loved playing third base in baseball, the reason I loved when Zach played third base, was my favorite baseball player. One of my favorite baseball players, Brooks Robinson, passed away today.
I saw that.
That's sad. Yeah. Love that guy. He was unbelievable with the glove and the bat. And that didn't happen a lot back in the day. You know, that wasn't where you put somebody that did that. But he was so good at it that it was so much fun to watch. Got anything on your mind here?
Yeah, I got 3 games with the Braves, 3 games with the Brewers for the Cubs. They need to win some of these to maintain being in the wild card. Are the Cubs going to be in the wild card?
They have to win all 3 of those games against the Brewers.
Yes.
And then hope that the Braves, I mean, the Braves have nothing to play for. I think they already have everything they need.
Right.
I think there are a couple of games up on the Dodgers. I mean, I don't even know how much home field advantage is in baseball anymore. But they need games. And what would help them is the people that they're competing against would have games against. The Brewers have to play hard. They need, I mean, it's not like the Cubs are going to catch the Brewers.
Right. They're not going to win the NL Central, but they have to maintain, because they are right now, the Reds are 2.5 games back.
Right.
Outside of the wild card.
Right. And the crazy thing with the Reds is they could lose the next 7 games or they could win all 7 games. Yeah. I don't know if they have 7 left. They have 6 or 7 left, I'm
6.
Assuming. Yeah. They could, you never know with those guys. I mean, they have no idea. They don't even have, it's a great team to coach. They have no idea in the world how to play baseball yet, but when they start learning how to play baseball, they're going to be a lot of fun. I think the Cubs are a lot like that too.
Right.
I just don't know. I don't think they know how to pitch and win right now. I think they can hit and field to win. I just don't know if they can,
like I said,
get over that hump.
Their defense, I have seen some of the best baseball.
Fun.
I mean, just via definition,
and
baseball.
And you don't know
any
of them, right?
Well,
and they're all really good.
Do now.
So that's a big deal.
And it's funny, my youngest, Brandon, was one. He said, look out for Nico. Look out for Dansby. He's like, you just got a heck of an infield when that team came together.
Right.
So to hear the things that Randy Wehofer says about what's coming up through the farm system as far as pitching
is good.
Is very good for the future of the Cubs.
And it's not like they don't have money. So, I mean, they can enhance their baseball, but now they have people to fill spots and not at, I mean, Swanson's probably their most expensive player. And, man, you're never getting rid of him because that changed the whole team.
Right.
That's what he's always done.
Right.
Since he played high school baseball, college baseball, that's all he's
done. I'm a Yan Gomes fan, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they brought him in, the current catcher was there to send a text. See ya.
Exactly.
He knew he was gone.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. So. This is something I have to do that I hoped I never would have to do.
I know.
And I sat and thought about this today, that it was probably 15 years ago, the first time that I met you in Indianola, getting ready to have a batting practice.
Yes.
And it has grown from there. Either me taking your Miller High Life
taking multiple Miller High Lives at Cuddy's campground.
Right,
and
before
and
I was
bacon,
getting ready to go coach an all-star
yes.
game.
And I would like to actually, that win goes to me because
yes.
you won. But no, it's you and I have been together a long time and we enjoy doing this.
Right, and we kind of got together and said, you know what, we've been doing this for a long time. I'm going to come in, we're going to do this for a few days. And we've been doing that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And having fun doing it, but your new job and just everything that's going on.
Well, it's not even that it's a new job, but the evolution of your job
and what you're doing, and a combination for me of understanding everything I have to do, mostly outside of work and with family stuff and doing all that. This is a lot, and it's been a lot. It's always been a lot.
Right.
It's people think this is really easy. People go, man, you make that sound so easy. It's not easy.
I tried to explain that you kind of feel like the a hard rock drummer at times when we're in here, because I've got written stuff down here. We've got laptops, phones going, kicking all these different things, kicking back and forth off each other. I enjoy it, but it's taken away from some other things. So I didn't think it'd be hard to say, but yes, this is my sign off. This is my last show.
This is your sign off, Dave, for Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott.
Yeah.
My sign off day for Steen on Sports is on Thursday.
Yep. And you said you're gonna bring the boys in with you to go through stuff.
Yep. I think they're gonna come in at least on Thursday. They might come in on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday we head down to Oklahoma
to the Iowa State
with teams at Iowa State in Oklahoma.
I am an officiant in a wedding this weekend.
Yes, you are. Have been officiant of a lot of things because your fingers are on fire going, how am I going to get all this stuff done?
I get through this weekend. I'll take a breath on Sunday and then jump on a plane and go to Florida. So boom, boom, boom.
What are you doing in Florida?
I have a buying council that I've been asked to be on.
There you go. That's fun.
Should be.
Work
should
related.
Be,
should. How are your Washington people? Are they okay with not having football?
No, they still have football.
Well, they do.
They are Washington State fans. Still have football. They're ranked.
Right. They're playing really
they're
well.
Ranked they're ranked higher than either one of our Iowa teams.
They're one of the funnest teams to watch.
And you said it off the air. It's maybe we just figure out a way to bring Washington State over.
And Oregon State, just to give us two more teams. So, yeah,
We said that because Iowa was playing on Peacock this weekend.
Yeah,
right.
And the Pac-12 has four people playing on the Pac-12 network that nobody
can get. Exactly.
So that's not a good thing. So,
but I will say just for, I'm sure there may be one or two people out there listening that the Happy Hour Sports that Gary and I have is still going to be Happy Hour Sports. We expect we'll probably get through the end of this year, but at the beginning of next year, we will have a podcast so that if you need a little fix of these two idiots talking, you'll be able to still find us somewhere.
And we can expand and bring in more idiots with us and do what we really like to do.
Right. And for your sake, the FCC won't be involved. So
without restrictions being put upon you.
Not that has ever been an issue. You are an easy man to, obviously we bounce things off each other, well, and it has been a fun time with you.
This was the fun part. I've gone through some tough times here. I mean, starting out, I mean, I came in here wanting to do interviews with head coaches. And then they're like, hey, people that were supposed to take this slot are gone. Do you want to do this? Yes.
Right.
Got to hang out with Wolfgang for a couple of years. His family.
Yep.
Lost him kind of moved on. Then COVID just, you know, you get a call. I'm getting ready to go to a golf tournament at Copper Creek. And they call and go, yeah, you're done.
Right.
Because of COVID. And then they call back up and go, okay, yeah, we made a mistake. we need to have live people on here. And I came in and did some stuff with Jeremy and enjoyed that. That was kind of during the COVID, you know, right before COVID. Came back in and did this by myself. And I probably wouldn't have come back in because I knew that you were going to come in and do this at least with me for
on Tuesdays, moved to Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and your wife is very, very good at influencing me. So that's how we got to three.
And to have your family be a part of it with B, with Grandpa, and my family be a part of it with the boys coming in here. It's just been fun.
We've got some cool. I mean, to have Randy in on Wednesdays, to J.W. Cox. I mean, it's. I know we're still going to go down that path and talk to those guys. It's going to just be on a different format, a different set of rules.
Yeah, and now we can just do it while having a beer and saying the same stuff we do.
Exactly.
But enjoying it. The radio station here has been great. It's fun to be a part of a group. We're not enough part of the group because we're outsiders because we have. I always say this, I have a real job. It's not, we have real jobs. We just have jobs outside of this that make it difficult to be. It'd be fun to be in here and be part of the team all the time. And this and probably would be different.
It would be different. And that is something that to explain, we're not employees of Cumulus.
No,
we're on our own, doing our own thing. But that's the music. One last time. I absolutely love you.
I love you too.
Time.
You know that. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports for the last time today. At least here, You are listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. I will be back in here tomorrow and Thursday. See you then.